You have a Bible with you, you can turn to Mark chapter 7 this morning. Mark chapter 7. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 23. Mark 7, 1 through 23. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the command of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might have otherwise have received from me is Corban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods unclean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Again, we're seeing Jesus trying to have people see. He wants them to see. And this particular section is so relevant. I've been struck. I probably said this already, but this whole study we're doing in Mark, I have to tell you, is gripping my heart. Every week, it seems, I'm reading this, and I'm just like, Lord, this is now. This is Jesus calling to his people. This is Jesus saying, cut through the fog, cut through the unnecessary things, the entanglements, and follow me. Which also explains, as my family has noted to me, that I'm ramping up to 8 or 9 very early in the sermons, and I got to kind of maybe take it easy at the beginning so I have room to go. I will try. But it's so exciting. It's so much here. Now, this particular issue is one of tradition. Things that we do. And there's nothing particularly wrong with traditions. Traditions can be good things. They often are good things, right? You know, we have many traditions in our families and things like that. But imagine, and the problem that Jesus is seeing here and pointing out to us, is when a tradition goes too far. Something like, okay, I think about it like this. Our family
year or two ago, bought a mug over in Mount Horeb. It's a troll. And it says, happy birthday on it. Right? Yeah. And so that is the king happy birthday mug. So when we have a birthday in the king household, the birthday person gets to have the mug. Great tradition. It's fun. You know, it's just fun. Right? And if any of you all came to our house and it was your birthday, guess what? You get the birthday mug. But here's the thing. Imagine a generation now. Say, grandchildren. They come over and they get the birthday mug. So cool. Yeah. But now they go to someone else's house and there's no birthday mug. They go, why isn't there a birthday mug? We've got a birthday mug. It's really cool. You don't have a birthday mug? Yeah, okay, whatever. But imagine then the next generation. They come up and they've, so we've had a birthday mug here and the next generation has a birthday mug and the next generation has a birthday mug. And then they come, and they have the birthday mug. They're so excited every time. I mean, so but now we're probably 15, 20, 30 your birthdays a year get a birthday mug, right? And then they go to someone else's birthday party, and there's no birthday mug. And they go, you people are so lame. How dare you not have a birthday mug? You know, in fact, I'm not going to your party anymore. Because you don't have a birthday mug. You have to have a birthday mug. That's our tradition. You see the swing it takes away from just being something fun in a family to like a judgmental attitude. And that is what Jesus is trying to cut through here. So we see in the beginning of this section, these Pharisees seeing something. Again, there it is. Take note of it. And having a question about it. Now, I think it's worth noting that they came up from Jerusalem. Okay? And I think it's worth noting that these are not unbiased folks coming to see what's going on. We've already seen back in chapter 3 that these folks are plotting to kill him. So they're up from the city to check out this guy and find a way, see if there's something they can do to get him. And it says, then they saw the disciples. Remember last week, what was last week all about? What do you see? Do you see Jesus? And when you see Jesus, who is it that you see? Just try to cut through. I want you to see me. Don't see a ghost. See the man that will heal. See the man that will restore. See the one that can save you. And here can we see that. What are the Pharisees seeing? Well, they're seeing disciples doing something that was against their tradition. A simple thing. They didn't wash their hands before they ate. Now, I'll admit, might be kind of crude. Depends on where you've been. Could be gross. Right? But we have to understand what is going on here. We have to understand what is it Jesus is trying to point out with these unclean hands. Now, we're not talking about dirt here. Okay? Let's get that straight right off the bat. We're not talking about dirt. Within the Judaic tradition, particularly among the priests and the temple folk in the rituals and the sacrifices, there were ceremonial cleansings. They were supposed to represent something, a coming before God purely. The problem is, and the mistake that's being made by these Pharisees and teachers of the law, is they're trying to take something that was for a particular group of people and expand it out to where everybody was. This is a ritual thing, you know, that if you came in contact, and there's all kinds of cleanliness laws, right, to come in the temple. I mean, if you touched a dead thing or dead person, you're unclean. If you were menstruating, you're unclean. If you have a rash, you're unclean. You have a pimple, you're unclean. If you're in the marketplace, you brush up against a Gentile, you are unclean. And you cannot go then into the temple spaces. And so the Pharisees, in their desire, I think, to please God, extended these ideas out into places they didn't need to be. They're taking temple standards and pushing them into everyday standards. The idea is that every Jew is a priest and every home is a temple. Again, on the face, sounds okay, right? I don't think I could argue with that. For us in our lives, we would want to have these kingdom of God spaces wherever we are, correct? So what is it that Jesus is railing against here? Well, we see it in his response. First off, holy cow. He was right at them. In no uncertain terms. You hypocrites. Your lips are me, but your hearts are far. You worship me in vain. Your teachings are but rules taught by men. So what he's saying here is that for you Pharisees, there's no distinction. There's no distinction between the commands that God has given you and the traditions that you're bringing up. Now, you can kind of look at it. I think you do look at it like, so the law, the commands are like a constitution, right? So you have this constitution that kind of gives the outline of how things are supposed to be ordered and done, right? And then with that, you make laws to clarify and kind of flesh out the Constitution. Now, we all know, though, of course, right? There can be bad laws. Or there can be laws that were intended to be good, and then over time, oh, no, that's not doing what it's supposed to do anymore. We got to revisit things. So that's what's happening here. There's a danger of focusing on the tradition to the point where their heart could be in the wrong place, even though they're obeying the law. We see that all the time, right? Right? I mean, any law you take is speeding law. You know, okay, I'll obey the speeding law, but I don't like it. You know, I'll put my seatbelt on, but I'm going to put my arm on the outside of it. Whatever, you know what I mean? Just little things we do to rebel inside. And then we become then judgmental. That's what Jesus is pointing here. That there was judgments made based on a superficial idea. When these Pharisees saw the disciples didn't wash their hands, they made a judgment on them saying they are not fit for God's kingdom based on this superficial idea. Again, thinking they were being righteous. That is where the problem was. So there was this problem of no distinction between the command and the tradition. There's also a problem, then Jesus goes deeper, of an actual setting aside of the actual commands in favor of a tradition. Look at the accusation he makes. There's the idea of honor your father and mother, and apparently, within some circles of a tradition of the Pharisees, one could, usually those who are in that Pharisee set or the teacher of the law, these folks in a outward act of righteousness would say, all these things, that the obligation I have to take my parents. That was kind of how it was supposed to be, right? You raise your kids go out, and then the kids take care of the parents. That's how God set it up. And they're saying, oh, yes, I mean, that's fine. But how righteous would it be if instead of, you know, all that money or that things, I could set it aside for God? I mean, parents are fine. But in the hierarchy of things, you have God, and then parents are down here. So we're going to shoot for God. I'm just going, what are you thinking? God has made a command, and in your twisted thinking, which probably ultimately came out of greed and selfishness, you're setting aside these commands, these socially construed ideas, to think that you're doing something good, but you become judgmental and you're marginalizing and setting aside people who need help. See, and all this so far then sets up what I think is the real heart of the issue here. This idea of clean and unclean. We are, I think, Jesus is really focusing in, trying to clarify more and more and more the very nature of God's kingdom. very nature of who is inside, who is outside. The very nature of who is acceptable to God and who is not acceptable to God. And as always, it seems most times those ideas are turned absolutely upside down. And Jesus does that again here. The Pharisees assume that to act like they do is going to be pleasing to God, and that they are the ones who are on the inside. But as we've seen over and over and over again, Jesus turns this on its head. And he starts by clarifying this nature of the kingdom of God. He calls a crowd to him. He wants to make sure they understand. And it is this central principle. Nothing outside of a person makes them unclean by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of the person that makes them unclean. That's the crux of this whole thing, folks. It's not the things on the outside that make you unclean, that make you acceptable to God. It is always a matter of what comes out, what you do, what you say, what you think. Your actions, your thoughts, your very desires. Now, again, just as a little aside here, some of you who are paying close attention and reading here, you may go, you know, verse 14, verse 15, verse 17. Kind of skip there. There's a little phrase there. If anyone has ears, let him hear. Some of you guys may have that. Don't worry about it. It's probably just a textual thing that not a big deal. If you have big questions about it, you can ask me later. It's not a big deal. Okay. So, what is at the core of being a human, created in the image of God, is their desires, their private practices, and the orientation of their heart. The Pharisees could see themselves inside the kingdom of God with clean hands, but are really outside the kingdom of God because of their hearts. Because of their greedy practices. And then, just to emphasize the point, Mark draws our attention to these disciples yet again. Again, the ones who should see, the ones who have the closest proximity, are still not quite getting it. First, they say, explain this parable to us. Now, we've talked about parables already. Audience is going, what parable? This is not a parable. This is pretty clear. This is not some vague idea trying to get us to a point. He's saying, don't you see that what you take into your mouth doesn't make you unclean? It goes in, it comes out, it's fine. That's not a parable. That's not pointing to something else. That's pointing to actual food going in the mouth and coming out of you. So he's like, don't you guys understand yet? And he clarifies again, what it is about. What comes out is what makes them unclean. For from within, and he gives a list here. Okay? You can look at the list. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evil come from inside and make a man unclean. Okay, so point one, first off, understand this is not a comprehensive list. All right? If you look at yourself and say, okay, I don't think I'm doing any of these things, I'm good. That's not what this is about. But it is about that idea of like Paul talks about, sin germinating. Starting in from just a thought, an evil thought, which can lead to, again, sexual immorality or greed or slander. Again, these are things that are fruit of the not spirit. It is the idea that it's not what's outside of you, but these things come up from inside. And again, your very thoughts. On the outside, the Pharisees were great. They were clean, they did all things, people looked up to them. Inside, they're rotten. The importance of the heart here. Again, you know, I think in this parable, in this story, in Jesus' teaching, you know, we understand the heart not to mean the muscle that pumps your blood. This is the center of your being. This is your affections. This is your orientation towards God. This is your commitment to love one another. This is your relations to Jesus' teaching. Your desire for obedience. And a rejection of these things in the kingdom of God does not come from outside. It doesn't come from trying to adhere to these societal constructs that were supposed to be for leadership. Rather, the flowering of evil and thought and selfishness comes from within. Comes from within. Okay. So, with this in mind. So, we kind of get the idea, right? I mean, it makes sense, right? Food isn't making me unclean. Brushing up against the Gentiles is unclean. You know, the little side note here. Jesus clearly making all foods unclean. You know, we could do a whole little deal on this. I think this was an aside of Mark just reaching out to Gentiles, right? I mean, Paul even talks about, you know, what you do for your conscience, okay? So we have to keep that in mind. Jesus is not designating the law here. You know, Matthew 5, he says, I did not come to set aside the law. I came to fulfill the law. So that's a whole other issue. But how do we live this? How does this touch us today? And I hope maybe you've already thought of some things. Right? There's this tradition, things we do. And you grew up in a church, you see all kinds of traditions that can distract us. But this has massive relevance, though, I think, in our current culture. And most of it just circles around the idea of judgmentalism, of how we can be so distracted by our own preferences that we ignore the kingdom of God. I think it comes out in play there. Turn your Bible to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, oops, that's John. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So this is, I'm just making a parallel here, okay? So kind of in the same way that the Pharisees were imposing and extending some rules for a particular set of people, priests and workers in the temple setting and pushing it out into everyday life. We see in 1 Timothy, if you see our heading, it says standards for leaders, right? It says, here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone tests his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Overseer could be elder, pastor. That's what we're talking about here. Okay? Now, the overseer must be above reproach. The husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle or quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert or may become conceited and fall into the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall in disgrace and into the devil's trap. And then it goes on to deacons and some other things. Okay, so here we have this standard. Good things, right? Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in an evangelical circle where this sort of a list of things was very commendable and one that, I mean, and I would say, boy, you could do worse than trying in your own personal life to try to have these standards upon you. But you see how there could be a problem. This clearly is for overseers and deacons and leaders. Okay? Not saying they're bad for other people. But if a church kind of adopts this as the standard for everyone all the time, again, not a bad thing in itself. But there are a couple of things that can happen that would be negative. First, I think if we apply this to as a standard for a normal Christian, maybe all coming in this church, we're drawing lines that God did not draw. Right? The Pharisees took this instruction and applied it to everybody. And so I think in trying to help God out, right? We're going to help God out here and make sure that we're just going to be good. And they made things unnecessary difficulties for some people. And I think as a Christian that we can see these sort of things. Not to say that this is not a thing to maybe strive for, but think about if a new Christian came into an environment where, in order to be in order to fit in order that this is the standard, well, there's no room to try to grow the incremental things. You know, the temptation would be to put up a facade of righteousness so that they're accepted and not have anything in their heart. For new Christians, I mean, how discouraging would that be? As they try to deal with the habits and the, you know, it could be the clothes they wear, the lifestyle is, or their job, whatever it may be, these things that the Spirit over time would work on, but we try to immediately impose that as a standard for everyone. And I like how Paul makes it clear, you know, this is not for a new convert. Because they aren't there yet. They may get there. Could very well be. But we're not going to impose just carte blanche this whole thing immediately. It can be dangerous. We can have standards for behavior, absolutely. But let's not draw lines or apply standards to people when they may not be able to live up to that. The second mistake that can come out of applying something like this, again, this is just a parallel, okay? There's other ways we can look at this. But what happens when, say, this sort of list, and this becomes our standard of righteousness within a particular community? Well, I think just by human nature, you're going to have in danger of developing a climate of judgmentalism. To looking upon somebody with this external standard and saying that's how you need to live. There's an external standard of holiness, a external thing that determines our acceptance, an external measure of a Christian's love and commitment to God. How do you love God or follow Jesus? Well, by these things that you do. And therefore, one, either you'll come in and if you slip up or you're not quite there in something like this, you're looked down upon. And you may not think you do it, but people know. All right? People can get the idea pretty quickly of how things are or are not in a community of believers. It's an artificial standard that's trying to be applied. And should not be. This is human nature. Because we like traditions. It helps keep things orderly. It helps us to remember things. We're supposed to do this. But I think what Jesus is showing us is the real standard for in or out, for acceptance and not be accepted, is a standard like we see in Micah 6:8. Very familiar, right? He has shown you, oh mere mortal, what is good and what God requires. And what is it? Is it washing your hands? Is it being ritually clean? No. It's act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Now, even in that little framework, right, we have traditions to try to live that out. But it's so important occasionally to look back and see, okay, I have this thing that we do. Have I veered from the path? Well, how do we do that? How do we check ourselves? Well, one, I think first, listen to your critics. Hear what they have to say. If there's ripping on young folk because they're so focused on social justice. All they care is social justice. Okay. And then in turn, they will criticize, older folk. No, all you care about is, you know, spiritual and not taking care of someone's needs, right? And so this is back and forth. Let's listen to each other. There's something there. I believe there is something there. Because I just read Micah 6:8. Hey, guess what? Social justice is a big deal. And if we ignore it, we ignore it at our peril. Let's hear our brothers and sisters from different traditions that are not ours. What do they have to say to us in our traditions or thoughts? It may be simple as something of, you know, baptizing a baby or baptizing an adult. Okay, we can nitpick about these kind of things, but is it saying something about us in our hearts? How we take communion? How we do whatever? What does it say, and how can we learn from it? If you've ever been to a church service that is not white, you go to a black church, it doesn't look like this. I'll include you right now. Now, there's some parts of it that make this white boy very uncomfortable because it's not my tradition. Is there something I can learn here? Is there something I'm missing? Is there something they're missing? When we hear, again, what are the in the headlines now? I mean, there's just so much fighting about racial issues right now, racial reconciliation, curriculums in schools, how slavery, so all these sorts of things that may not fit with my experience. Let's listen to that and say, Lord, is there something I'm missing here? Because at the end of the kingdom of God is a vast tapestry, and we're all going to be in this thing together. We're all be dining together. Now, I think maybe there might be some different menus, which is fine. But we're together. So let's hear. Let's hear what others are saying that are different from us, with a different tradition. And ask ourselves that hard questions. Is this particular tradition, whatever it may be, is it something that I need to apply across the board for acceptance in the kingdom of God? I would venture that most of the time, it's probably not. It comes down to, are you following Jesus? Now, again, a person could be further along the path or further back on the path, right? But Jesus says in a Sermon on the Mount, judge not that you be not judged. For the measure you judge is how you are going to be judged. So think about that. You actually have a little bit of say, a little bit of control of how it's going to be between you and God when you see him face to face. Now, as humans, we kind of like that. Because, hey, I can do something, right? Okay, here's something I say. Yes, you can do this. This is one thing where if you want to have a little bit of control of things in your life, do this. So if you want God to be really hard on you, really nitpicky, diving into your every little thought, diving into your every little action, judging you on whether you had a good heart in this or not a good heart, if that's what you want and you like that, yeah, fine. Do that to other people. I am not there. I would much rather come before God and say, my grace is enough. My grace is enough for you. We sang that. I'd much rather have that and rely on that than any righteousness I try to have myself. So, we can leave it at that. The crux is that it's not what comes in. It's not the clothes we wear. It's not the songs we sing. It's not the political affiliations we have. It's not the clubs we join. It's not the cars we drive. None of that. Now, we can talk to each other about things like that. You know, clothing, modesty standards. I was thinking about that yesterday. Again, another side, I thought I was going to end here, but you think about bathing suits. Okay, bathing suits, right? Now, I'm sure in our crazy now, you could go to the beach and look and say, oh my gosh, come on. What is going on? This is terrible. Barely wearing anything, right? Usually towards women. 100 years ago, what did a bathing suit look like? Probably looked like the dress you're wearing right now, right? And they're probably seeing someone come on the beach and their legs are showing. And they're going, oh my gosh! Are you kidding me? We're on a slippery slope. That's it. The world is coming to an end. Right? It's a tradition. All right? Has nothing to do with God's righteousness. Even today, that is the same thing. Now, we can talk about scriptural standards of modesty and things like that. But are we judging in an inappropriate way? Or are we doing it in love for the sake of another person? See, then, again, these are conversations. We all are thinking I'm a... Right? I'm not saying we shouldn't have standards. I'm saying let's be careful. Let's be careful. So that no matter what my thoughts are on a bathing suit or whatever else it may be, that no one would ever get any indication that whatever I think is I don't love them. Let's make sure that's our standard first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the ins and outs of complexities of this world, help us to, well, help us, Lord, to not add to what you have for us. Lord, we are human. We like stability. We like order. And I believe that's what you gave us, Lord, in your image. But Lord, it gets twisted in our fallen hearts. So we pray, God, that in your spirit, you show us more and more and more what it is to be righteous, not in our outside things necessarily, but that our righteousness is in our hearts, and that the fruit of that righteousness is the fruit of your spirit, in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and all these things. Lord, help us to grow in those things more and more and more. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.